Wow, you have a lot of energy for 9 o'clock. Hey guys, real quick, I just want to be very honest with you today. I am exhausted, and I know you are too. Here's my promise to you. For the next 20, 25 minutes, I hope God speaks through me, and I want to give you everything I have. I want to give you everything I have in this moment. I'd like you to make the same promise to me. I know you're tired. I know you're spun up. I know you're excited for things to come. But in this moment right here tonight, could you listen with everything you have? Can we do that? Yeah, can we? Yeah. Raise your hand if you're going to do it. Sweet. Fantastic. Hey, if you've got a Bible with you, and I hope you do, if you don't, just get like buddy buckled with your buddy and like share these or whatever it is you do. So the first thing, we've got some really important business to take care of. Hey, this is serious. We were going to listen. You said you would. You just promised. Liars, all of you. All right. Hey, we've got some important business to take care of. It has come to my intention that there's like a tragic thing missing in my life. And do you know what that thing is? I don't have a camp name. And so what I want to do is I want to give you the opportunity to pick a camp name for me. And this is how this is going to work. I only have one rule. My camp name must come from that silly story that I told you about Mary Hill. Do you remember Mary Hill? The girl who I had like the monster crush on because she was super cute and I sat beside her in class. Wait, listen. I don't want you to shout it out now. I'm going to give you some rules. Hey, here it is. Don't shout out. It's not going to happen now. We're going to make that decision tomorrow. So what I want you to do, my camp name has to be based on that story somehow. It has to be associated with that story somehow. Do you need a refresher on the story? Don't raise your hand. It's not going to happen now. Sorry. Do you need a refresher on the story? You're good? All right. Remember, we played footsie. I wrote her a note. She said maybe needs no. I gave her a turtle, all that. The turtle came back to me. I cried. It was horrible. That story. So tomorrow, what I want you to do, stop shouting. What I want you to do, in your cabins, at some point, each cabin gets to come up with one name. Agree on it. We will vote on those names tomorrow by how loud you scream. Sound good? Right? Is that a big responsibility? Yeah. I expect good things. Good things. All right? Here we go. Guys, I want to make something clear from our talk earlier. The first thing we talked about this morning was this idea of identity. And I asked you a question. I asked you the question, what are you? Right? And you may have written something down, but we talked about how there's a more important question that God would ask. And it's more important what God says I am than what I say I am. And what God says I am defines me. And those other things are just things that I do, right? Something that I want to be abundantly clear is that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, when you say, Jesus, you lived the life I couldn't, you died the death I should have, and you gave me the new life which I didn't deserve, and you placed your faith in him, and he becomes your Lord of your life, and sin is gone, he's no longer your master, Jesus is your master, something happens. Jesus begins a process in you. And the process is this. He's going to make you less and less and less like yourself, and he's going to make you more and more and more like him. Right? That's a process. In fact, it's a process that we actually never fully complete, right? We don't ever turn into Jesus. We just get closer and closer and closer to living more and more and more like the way Jesus lived, because he was our ultimate example and how to do that. And what I want you to understand is you walk through this idea of identity and you live through this idea of identity, that as you're on that process, you're going to have ups and downs, and there's kind of an ebb and flow to it. Have any of you experienced that in life? So we talked about this, that there's sin in our life. Has sin been conquered by Jesus Christ? Does it rule my life anymore? Absolutely not. Is it still present and active in the world we live in? Yeah. Yes. Is it still present and active in me? Yeah. And do I need to daily fight that battle? Yeah. Right? Remember what we called sin? Sin is doing, saying, or thinking something different than what God has me do, say, or think, right? And we're always fighting this battle between sin and obedience. And obedience is doing, saying, or thinking that which God would have me do, say, or think, right? And I think a key point that I just want to nail down from this morning is that identity, if our identity is in him, that we were going to be better at obeying. Does that make sense? Is that clear? Yeah. Yes? Kind of? Cool. Sweet. All right. If you could open up your Bibles to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. All right, guys, where have we been? How many kings can you have in your life? How many kings are there? Two. God and sin and the outcomes of those kings. If I follow God, I get triumph in life. If I follow sin, I get death. And death and tragedy, right? And then we have the gospel. Jesus comes in. Can I deal with my sin? No, only Jesus can deal with my sin. And if I believe in Jesus, he gives me that new life. Guys, we just talked about it and we said that even if Jesus is king of our life and he sits on the throne of our lives and he is the God of our hearts, do we still have to deal with sin? Is sin any less of a big deal? I don't think so. Is sin still a big deal? Sin is a huge deal. Does it matter how we deal with it? Absolutely. Guys, tonight what we're gonna talk about is how we deal with sin. And we're gonna walk through a gnarly story, which we just watched in that video. We're gonna walk through a gnarly story about these two guys. We're gonna look at Saul, who's really just, man, Saul's ugly right now, guys. Saul's ugly right now. And we're gonna look at this boy, this king, David. As we look at our Bible story, David was probably a little bit older in the story than he was in the video, but that's not super important, and so don't get stuck on that. But what I want to do is I want to walk through those stories. And what we're going to talk about tonight, guys, is this idea of confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. And I just want to give you two quick definitions for that. Confession is going before God and someone else, like a real live human being, and saying, hey, I made a mistake. Like, hey, I was running through camp and I saw this guy and 2 weeks ago, that guy took my potato chips and I thought, man, that guy's a real jerk face for thinking my potato chips. Oh, I don't like him, right? And that'd be sin in my life. Me being angry at this person would be sin in my life. And then I would go to God and go, God, I shouldn't be angry at this man. I need to forgive him like you forgave me and that I would confess my sin. That's confession, that I would take my sin before God and I would say, hey, I messed up. And we're gonna be real and honest with our sin in confession. That's what confession is. And then repentance is part of confession. Repentance is, hey, here's my sin. I wanna be honest and real about it. But then I wanna now live differently. And because of sin, there was sin in my life, I was taking one direction. I was moving in one direction, and then I stop and I confess and I look at my holy God and I say, God, that's not what you called for me. And repentance is actually changing direction. I was moving this way, away from God, and I'm turning this way and I'm moving back towards him, right? Is God still king of my life? Does sin rule my life? Yet, no, it does not rule my life anymore. Is sin still in my life? Yes. Is it a big deal? Yes. Is this wildly, wildly important? Yes. How we deal with this is wildly, wildly important. Can I make just a very honest confession to you? I think as churches in the United States, we are very, very, very bad at this. We are very, very, very bad at this. And I think, guys, I think this is why. I think we think that sin is bigger than our God. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. And that's what we're gonna look at tonight. It's been an option for you to follow along with me for most of the nights. Tonight, don't follow along with me. I'm going to move at warp speed through a few chapters of 1 Samuel. Don't follow along with me. Please stay in the psalm that you're in right now, right? Sound good? All right, thanks guys. All right, we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19, and we saw this in the video, and we're starting to see Saul get very, very, very serious about something. And what is Saul getting very, very, very serious about? Killing David, right? Saul has lost his marbles. He's got 100% baddie. He is out of his mind. He's obsessed. And he is completely and utterly controlled by what? Sin. He's completely and utterly controlled by sin. And so verse 19, that's what we see in chapter 19 in 1 Samuel. It's just Saul trying to get, like, he's trying to recruit these people to help him in killing David. In chapter 20, Saul has a son. His name's Jonathan. And it just so happens that David and Jonathan are, like, best friends forever. Because remember, David spent some time in the castle with Saul. And these two guys get really close. And so David comes to Jonathan. He's like, hey, Jonathan, isn't it true that your dad's trying to kill me? And he goes, I don't know. I'm going to go find out. And so he goes, finds out, and he comes back to David. He says, yeah, it's true. Dad's trying to kill you. He really hates you, bro. I don't know why. I'm not into it, but he really hates you. And so they come up with this super secret ninja plan to escape. And you can go read through it in chapter 20. And so David escapes from Saul with the help of Jonathan. And in chapter 21, we're going to see David. And we're going to see David start doing something. And we're going to see some sin in David's life. And we're going to see David get really honest about it, right? And I want David in this to be an example to you of how we are honest with our sin before our God. Is sin in our lives still a big deal? Does God super care how we deal with it? Absolutely, he does. Chapter 21, please follow along with me here. It says, then David came to the city of Nob to a guy named Ahimelech. And he's a priest in this small town outside of Jerusalem. And Ahimelech came to meet David and he was trembling and he asked David a question. Remember, David is the son-in-law of the king. He marries Saul's daughter. And so it'd be very weird for the son-in-law of the king to be traveling alone. He comes out, hey, buddy, why are you traveling alone? You're the son-in-law of the king. It would be weird for you to travel alone. It'd be like the kid of our president not having Secret Service, right? He usually would have a guard with him or someone with him. And he asks him this question, and this is David's response. What is David running from right now? Saul. Is he by himself? Yes, he is. Let's hear David's response and see how he does here. And David said, the king has charged me with a matter. The king has charged me with a matter and said to me, let no one know anything of that matter about which I send you. And he's basically saying to this priest, hey, Saul the king has sent me on a secret mission. Is that true? When we say things that aren't true, what do we call that? That's a lie. And lying is a sin, right? Is this a big deal? Yes, this is a big deal. Are there some times in our lives where we can think that there are sins that are smaller and sins that are bigger? Yeah. If we're to be honest, if we looked at our world, what would our world say right now? Oh, he just said a little lie, right? He just said, hey, it's just a little itty bitty lie. I just said, hey, I'm on a secret mission, but I'm not really on a secret mission. I'm running from him because he's trying to kill me. I just didn't want him to know that he's trying to kill me, right? Would we call that a big sin or a little sin? They're all sins. They're all big sins. I'm so glad you said that. Air high five to whoever said that. They're all big sins. And in a little bit, we're going to see why, okay? We're going to see why. And he says, don't tell anyone about this. And then he goes on and he says, I have an appointment with these young men and I'm trying to find these young men so I can meet with them and start like making my little armies to go on my secret mission. Is he actually doing that? What's he done again? He's lied again. Is that a big deal? Yes, it is. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. And then he says, now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever it is you have. And so the priest says, okay, here's some bread. And then the story gets kind of funny here. And I want you to see this. I want you to see this. And then it's in verse 8. And then David said to Ahimelech, then have you not a sword or a spear in your hand? For I brought neither sword or spear with me because the king's business required haste. He's basically saying, God sent me or Saul sent me on the secret mission and I had to leave quickly. What did he just do again? He lied. He lied. Guys, is this a big deal? Yes. I want you to see how David deals with this sin. But first, what I want you to see is sometimes our sin has consequences that we don't understand. And sometimes sin in our life have consequences that we don't intend or that we don't see because sometimes these consequences are in the future. So David lied to this guy, Ahimelech, and he flees and he runs from this town of Nob. But something happens. There's a guy in this story, his name is Doeg, and Doeg is like the head shepherd of Saul. And Doeg sees this happen. He sees this interaction in this town of Nob. And what do you think Doeg does? He goes and gets Saul. Doeg is probably the biggest punk in the entire Bible. If I'm allowed to pick a character in the Bible who I do not like the least, it's this guy. He is a punk with a capital P and an exclamation point, and his punkiness is about to get even worse. So Doeg knows where David is, and he goes to Saul and says, hey, this is where he is. What do you think Saul's going to do? He's going to come to Nob, right? And he's going to try to find David. And that's exactly what he's done. But David's left. He's gone to this place called the Cave of Adullam. Not super important, but he's not there anymore. And so Saul rolls into Nob. And this is chapter 22. I highly encourage you, maybe tomorrow, if you have some quiet time, read through these verses. It's absolutely, absolutely incredible. And he summons this priest before him. What's Saul struggling with right now? The sin he's struggling with. It's anger, right? Like Saul's just an angry, angry, angry dude. And that anger's leading him to want to do what? Kill people, right? It's about to get gnarly. Follow through with this. And so Saul sent to this guy, Ahimelech. And Saul said to him, have you conspired against me? You and the son of Jesse, and that you have given him bread and you have given him a sword. And you have inquired of God for him, basically mean, hey, did you actually give him bread and did you pray for him, is what he's asking. And did you give him bread or did you give him a sword and you acquire from God for him so that he has risen against me to lie in wait this day? Basically, you did all that and I think he's going to try to kill me. Is that true? Is that what David's trying to do? No, it's not. Saul's a little tweaked out. The following verses, the priest says, hey, that's not what happened. That's not how it went down. Yeah, he came. Yeah, we saw him. Yeah, we prayed with him. Yeah, we gave him some bread. And yeah, we gave him the sword. But he's not trying to kill you, bro. And we haven't done anything wrong. Calm down. Verse 16, listen to this. And the king said, you shall surely die, you and all of your father's house. And the king said to the guard who stood around him, turn and kill the priest of the Lord, because their hand is also with David. And they knew that he fled, and they did not disclose it to me. But the army guys, the soldiers, they say, but the servants of the king would not put their hands to strike a priest of the Lord. So Saul's like, hey, kill this guy, kill his entire family, kill the entire village. I want them all dead because I think they're helping David. Is Saul completely gone? Is sin completely reigning and ruling in his life? Absolutely. So the soldiers say, we don't do it. And then our good buddy Doeg, he steps up. And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priest. And he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod. And Nob, the city of priests, was put to the sword, both men and women and child and infant and ox and donkey and sheep were put to the sword. Did Saul just do something absolutely horrible? He did. He just committed mass murder. He just committed mass murder. Who did the murdering? Doeg or Saul, right? Who's responsible for the murdering? Saul or Doeg, right? Guys, there's a guy in the story. It's the priest's son. He escapes and he runs and he finds David and he tells him about this. And I want you to hear what David says in response. How big was David's sin in comparison with killing 80 some odd people? We would say tiny, right? Tiny. God would say, they're both exactly the same. I want you to listen to David's response. I want you to listen to David's response. This is verse 20. But the son of Ahimelech, the son of Abitu, his name is Abathar, and he escapes and he fled after David. And Abathar told David that Saul had killed the priest of the Lord. And David said to Abathar, listen to his words, guys. I knew on that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul. And he said, I have occasioned the death of all those persons of your father's house. What does David realize? Hey, I came to this guy and I lied. And because I lied, this guy named Doeg saw me. And he went and told Saul, and Saul came back, and Saul's lost it. And he killed all these people. And does David go, hey, wait, Abathar, it's not my fault, it's Saul's fault. Saul killed all those people, it's not my fault. Is that what David says? He says, it was my fault. I lied. And that lie is a big deal. Guys, I want you to think back to a few nights ago when we looked at sin in Saul's life. And when Saul was confronted with similar sins in his life, what does he say? hey, Samuel, it's not a big deal. Samuel, it's not my fault. You see, you gave me this stupid army. God gave me this stupid army, and these guys are cowards, and they ran away. And Samuel, you were late, and so I had to do the sacrifice, Samuel. You were late, and so it's your fault, and it's the people's fault. And oh, by the way, the Philistines are here, and they're big and strong and tough, and they're scaring my people, so it's also the Philistines' fault. What does Saul do when sin is confronted in his life? He makes excuses. Does he ever claim it? Does he ever own it? Is it ever a big deal? No. And should it be? Absolutely. How big was David's sin? It was huge. How important is it that he owned it? That was huge. Guys, turn with me to Psalms verse 34. What was David's sin in this chapter, if you had to give it a name? What did he do? He lied. He lied three times. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 11, he says this. David, guys, I get chills when I think about this. Whew. One second, sorry. David wrote this song. He wrote this song to God immediately after this priest's son shows up and tells him what had happened. He tells them a story about Saul killing these 85 people and massacring this town. David writes this song and this prayer to God immediately after it. Remember, what's David's sin? What's his issue? Lying. Verse 11, chapter 34. Come, O children, listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he might see good? Verse 13, listen to what he's going to say. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. He just wrote a song about not doing what? Not lying. Does David think sin in his life is a big deal? Is he honest with God about it? Does he bring it before him? Does he seek forgiveness? Absolutely. Absolutely he does. Guys, what about Saul? Sin in his life is a very, very little thing, and he never seeks that. He never confesses. He never repents. And it's just horrible. It's just horrible in his life. Guys, please turn with me to Psalm, just back one page. It's funny how this worked out. Psalm 32. I want to read to you this. This is again David. He's talking about confession. He's talking about repentance. Chapter 32, Psalm chapter 32, verse 3, he says this. When I kept silent, what do you think he's keeping silent about? His lies, his sin, very good. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away and through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. He's saying, Father, I sinned. I realized I sinned, and I realized I hadn't confessed with you. I realized I had been quiet about it, and it felt heavy, and it felt gross, and I felt conviction, and I felt your hand upon me. My strength was dried up, and my heart, my strength was dried up as a heart of summer. He's basically saying all that I had, all the good in me, just like a desert in summer, it was dried up and all the good was gone. And in verse 5, he says this, I acknowledge my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity. Iniquity is just another fancy word for sin. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to you, Lord, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin. Guys, is sin in our lives a big deal? Absolutely. Is sin still the king of our lives? No. But is it something that we still need to know how to deal with? It is, absolutely. Guys, I really, really, really want you to think about tonight, do you need to do some business with God? Even though you are his child, even though he is king of your heart, is there something in your life that is pulling you and separating you and distracting you from following him? And maybe he's king of your life, but you're on a path that he didn't intend for you, and maybe you need to stop and you need to hit your knees and you need to be like David, even if you think that sin is small, because I promise you the consequences of our sin are frequently much bigger than we ever realize. And we would hit our knees like David and go, man, God, I blew it. I don't want to be silent because it hurts me. There's an aching deep within inside of me, and I feel that conviction. I don't like it. Father, could I hit my knees and I could be honest and real with you about the sin in my life? Because my sin is a big deal. My sin is a big deal. Guys, I think there's two reasons why we don't do this. The first one, as I think we think God's going to love us differently. And I want you to know that could not be any farther from the truth. If you've got a pen in your hand, write down this, Romans chapter 8, verse 37. I want to read this to you, and I don't want you to go there. I just want you to hear these words. Are you ready? I want you to hear these words. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Is there anything you can do, any sin you could commit, anything you could say that would change the way the king of your heart loves you? No. And you will always be his what? Child. You will always be his child. Guys, I think the first reason we don't want to go to God and honestly tell him about our sin is because we very foolishly and incorrectly believe a lie that he's going to love us differently. And is that true? No, it isn't. Guys, do you remember the truth of the gospel? That Jesus died the death that I should have. Jesus lived the life that I couldn't, and he died the death that I should have, and he gave me the life that I didn't deserve. What did I do to earn that? Nothing. You know the other beautiful truth of I didn't do anything to earn it? I can't do anything to lose it. God gave it to me. It was a free gift, and he's never taking it back. He's never taking it back. Ever. Guys, do you trust that? Do you believe that? Does that give you the power to be honest before your Lord and Savior who loves you more than you can possibly imagine about the sin in your life? I think it should. I think it should. Guys, the other reason I think we struggle with confessing sin is because we care what other people think, right? We care what other people think. As we talk through this idea of identity, we made the distinction that is between what I am and what I do, right? Where is my identity and who do I find that? In Jesus, right? I find that identity in Jesus Christ. And then there's things that I do, right? And I sometimes think that our identity, if we put it in the judgment of others, that it's hard for us to confess our sin, but if Jesus Christ is the king of our lives and our identity in him is I am his child, why couldn't we go before anyone in our lives and say, hey man, I blew it. And maybe you've even offended someone and you need to go to them and say, hey man, I blew it and it hurt you and I need to apologize for hurting you, right? Maybe we need to do that. But let's not be afraid to do that because what someone else might think about us, because whose opinion of us is the most important? God's, and God calls us what? His child, whom he loves. Guys, is sin in our life a huge deal? Absolutely. It's how we deal with it, a huge deal. I have the feeling that there's probably something in all of our lives tonight that we just need to be honest with God about. And maybe we need to be honest with that with someone else too. Maybe we need to tell a peer or a friend or a counselor about it too. Because you know the beautiful thing about this journey we're on? Look to your left or your right. Are you alone? No, I'm not. And you know, you want to know something? You might think your mess is a whole lot different than the mess in the life of the person beside you, but I promise you this, it's really not. And that we all have sin in our lives, and we're all in this process, and we're all trying to become more like Jesus and be obedient to him. And I think it'd be super encouraging. And I think you'd flip your schools upside down. I think you'd flip your youth groups upside down. I think you'd flip your families upside down if you just started being honest with your sin and you started confessing with each other, and you started confessing before God, and you started praying with each other, and if you were like David and you thought your sin was a big deal, you would do this. Guys, I think we don't do this because we think sin is a little deal. Is God still the king of our heart? Yes. Is sin still a big deal? Yes. Do we need to do something about it? Yes. Guys, tonight, if you need to confess, if you need to repent, don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for that condition that you think needs to happen. Do it now. Do it now. Take some time tonight. Hit your knees before your loving Father and say, God, I blew it. God, I blew it, and I don't want this heavy thing on my heart anymore. I don't want this thing distracting me from following you anymore. And could David be our example? Could David be our example? Because sin in our life is a huge deal. And God doesn't want that to distract us from following him, right? Guys, hey, guys, I'm going to pray for us, and we've got some more stuff coming. Heavenly Father, man, tonight, could we be honest? Could we come before you knowing that you are bigger than our sin, that you are bigger than our mess, and that you are bigger than those lies that we try to believe, that says that you might love us differently because of the sin in our life. Father, would we understand that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus? Nothing. And Father, could our identity be in that? Could our hope be in that? And could we be honest with our sin before you and before our peers? Not caring what others might think, not caring that others might mock us because we're confessing, but that we'd be honest to you, that we would say sin is a big deal. Could we confess? Could we be honest? Could we repent? And could we turn back to following you so that by your grace and by your love and by your spirit, you could take a sinner like me and turn me more and more and more like your son? It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.